All right, hello and welcome to episode 41 of Crippled System. Hopefully this doesn't sound like garbage. My name is Nathan.
I'm Katie.
Jeremy.
Andy.
Brian.
And that was a fast and smooth intro. Good job, everyone.
Yeah, I feel like we've just ruined the intro doing it that way. Yeah.
And we're done.
And we're done.
Just drop the mic.
All right, so do we want to start up with that one question we got that we said we'd answer last week?
We will always do announcements.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
Seriously.
That's a thing. I was confused by the fact that we flowed through the intro so fast. It really threw me off. That was weird for me.
Yes. Success is a strange bedfellow
to
Jeremy.
It really is.
Announcements.
Plus, it's been a while since he trampled all over the schedule. So, announcements. You have announcements.
I had an idea that I thought was good, and now it's terrible. I'm running a 50-point steamroller event next weekend at Misty Mountain Games. This coming weekend, the Saturday of the 5th of the Octobers. 50 points, two lists, must play each list at least once. Raffle. Actually, there is a raffle for a fully painted. I mean, if you have a fully painted army, you can win a raffle prize. Mm-hmm. The big draw is I have the Butcher 3 box as a random raffle prize. Then I have the keg bears. I have the Convergence keg bear, the Troll keg bear, and the Circle of Model keg bear, all as gifts.
Not the Kador one? Or did you misspeak?
There is a Kador one.
You don't have the Troll one? Well, the Troll doesn't have a keg. The Troll's
There's no Troll model.
You got the three that were available at Gen Con.
Correct.
The ones who are playable alt sculpts, not the, yeah.
So a first place, first place player, I think, gets one. The painted raffle gets one. I think second place gets one, and then we do an overall raffle for the actual. Everyone's eligible for the Butcher. But if someone who won one of those three wins the Butcher, they can trade out if they want. They can't keep two.
And then we'll do another raffle for the prize they dropped.
Correct. Yeah, and then there's also going to be, I believe, trophies, because Ben had some extra trophies. So first through third will get trophies.
That's kind of fun.
It is only four rounds since there's going to be 50 people signed up.
Oh my God.
I'm so
sorry. So we're going to have so many undefeateds.
Yes. And I'll be setting up at 4 a.m. to get everything ready. It's going to be awesome.
And it's at Misty, not Pegs?
It's at Misty, where we have more room for it. I mean, Peg, we could handle 30.
Are we running clocks?
No, it's not. We're just doing time turns. I don't have 800 death clocks. Plus,
we can put a shout out to Travis could bring some.
Advertised it as time turns, though, so it's too late to change it now.
So,
but yeah, two lists.
Oh, my
play.
God. So many undefeateds.
The top three.
Yeah, it's gonna be
25 undefeated, then at most 13, then at most 7, then at most 4.
Sure.
At most, there's four undefeated, and it's probably going to be lower than that. It's probably going to be three.
Yeah. It's probably to get first place, you'll be undefeated, first through third place. Yeah. But it's weird. It's weird to me to have a not. It's weird to me for a first place not be.
I did it once, determined six, by seven rounds of 50.
Yeah,
people.
It would have been ridiculous.
Plus,
I agree. But.
People just really. I mean, really, first place is the guy who wins a Butcher model. I mean,
The raffle's all that matters.
Yeah, it is a $15 entry. It's a little more expensive because it's really
awesome.
Well, I paid out of my own pocket for all the prizes.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm excited to play. I'm looking forward to it. Are you coming, Kay?
I don't know. Did I sign up?
I did not sign up.
Are any of your friends showing up this weekend?
No. So I'll probably be there.
All right, then.
All right. Sounds and if we're over 50, I may or may not have enough terrain. Some tables may be sparse.
The open terrain table. That'll be fun to play against Sigmar.
There may be a table where, there's no way. It's just like you play in the corner
of
the
floor.
And
since it's at Misty, we can have our delicious breakfast at the cafe next door and lunch at Papa Bear's Barbecue. You eat well at the Misty.
Eat well over there.
Ben should let them know that we're going to have a tournament that weekend.
So next time I do a Misty tournament, I think I'll just have Papa Bear's Barbecue cater. I'll just up the entry fee by $5 and just have the food delivered at the lunch break.
That's actually not a terrible idea.
It's a legitimately good idea. Nathan had a good idea.
Yeah.
Hooray for me.
Write it down.
Probably be $8, not $5.
We'd have to see.
But still, $8 for your lunch to be delivered to you, so you don't have to go find it.
And it's good food.
And it's really
good. If you're vegetarian, fuck you.
Yeah, if you're a vegetarian, you just don't eat, and I'll just pocket your $8.
You still feel
you know what? You could eat the $8, because that's about the same
green
flavor, nutritional value as your stupid vegetarian food.
All right. So that's my announcement. I think you guys had a shout-out or something.
Yeah, we got an email here from Chris Agel, I believe it is, for Buffalo War Machine. He's running a food machine event coming up on the 9th of November in Buffalo, New York. They have over 60 people registered.
Wow.
And definitely would have tried to get some more people. I know the food machine stuff is really big around this time. There's a lot of different events going around. But, he's got one over in November
They're fun events. We've never run.
We've never run a food machine. Yeah.
No, we do. What is a food machine event?
It's kind of like our Merry Mayhem, where it's a more casual event with the fundraising. Yep. It's you, like, instead of just there's like you donate canned food and fed entry fees, and a lot of times people have, like, you can donate more food to get, like, re-rolls and stuff like that.
Yeah. Or, like, bring an out-of-faction model, I've heard some people do. Like,
yeah.
It's cool stuff. It's a fun event.
You get power-ups for donating more food, essentially.
Yeah. Okay.
That's somebody I saw a picture of somebody just brought in a pallet of cans to one event one year. It was just like, I want all of the special things every game. Here's my pallet.
Well, the problem is, which is cool, but sometimes they go to the store and they go, what's a cheat? They'll buy, like, a little pallet of, like, just peaches, you know?
It's whatever.
At some point, you're being helpful, but, you know, some homeless guy needs food badly. But maybe he doesn't, you know, maybe he wants more than
poor peas. People are sick of candy yams. Like, you know.
Especially right after Thanksgiving.
When our school did the food drive when I was a kid, I was always like, you'd go down the canned food aisle and you'd do like the 15-cent canned yams, and you're like, okay, everybody's buying 20 of those. Let's splurge and we'll get him some Kraft mac and cheese or something.
My mom just always opened the cabinet and just like emptied it.
Yeah. That's cool too. Yeah, because when I was really little, like, we were dirt poor, like, ghetto, and so we were on all the, like, the free food for breakfast. We were on the breakfast thing, which, like, a lot of kids didn't even know that you got free breakfast at school if you came early and you were poor.
Yep.
You know, they're like, what? But, yeah. In fact, my brother, when he was like 8, he had his first white collar crime because my dad was on strike at the Briggs and Stratton factory, and so we were broke, so we were qualified for the free lunch. And so then after the strike ended and my dad went back to school, we were no longer broke. And so my parents started giving Adam money again to buy his lunch. And Adam just told the school that we were still broke. So nice. Adam was just pocketing his lunch money and getting free food.
Seems like a plan.
Yeah.
I hear white-collar crime is the way to go, though.
Yeah.
So he's just
if you're going to do any crime, white-collar is the way to go. I mean, Martha Stewart is a convicted felon and nobody cares.
No,
very successful.
Yeah.
White-collar is a pretty good TV show, too.
Also that. Yeah. Oh, I love that show. Any other any other announcements we want
to
make?
Andy and I went to Milwaukee, had one of those Convergence launch events, and anybody who listened a few weeks ago might remember I had one of those, and Travis and Danny were on here, and we all talked about things that were flawed with the program and ways to fix it, and then at their event yesterday they did none of those things.
They didn't do any
of
them?
So that was good. Good job, Sam.
I saw the podcast. One of you guys had the little claptrap for your...
Yeah, that was me.
That's awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
That was all me.
Yeah, well, what it was is, like, Andy showed up, and I didn't... He's like, I got terrain for you, so you got the terrain prize. I'm like, all right, cool. He's like, you got anything I'm like, I didn't build a node. He's like, well, go grab something. And I'm like, well... I bought claptrap yesterday. He's like, just bring that. I got a base. Done. So he just glued clap into a base.
Nice. It looked awesome.
He made a good power note. That he was shockingly poseable. That's a really cool claptrap.
I high fived him with the Kraken and Death Jack and
while playing on the table.
Yeah, well, no, he was on the
Andy,
table.
Andy high fived him and got his achievement point for high fiving a power node straight off of the table.
Off the table.
Yeah. I hope you feel good about yourself killing Clappy.
Yeah, that was pretty easy.
His only weakness is stairs and adult onset diabetes and the Kraken and a Death Jack.
Yeah, that was an issue too because I was taking on somebody who had a siege list.
Yeah,
and I had a Kraken, Death Jack, and Scar, and that was it. So, and then he had two defenders, two hunters, and siege. And that was not fun.
You had Scar 1?
I had Scar 1.
That was the wrong Scar to take against that list.
Yep.
Well, Scar 2 could really close that distance. Run, feet, fuck you, run, engage, murder.
Well, wouldn't affect the Jack for that, though.
What?
It wouldn't affect the Jack for that.
Your node?
The Kraken.
He can't.
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, the Kraken you can protect. Yeah.
But yeah, no. I just wanted to get my points for that. I wanted it to end quickly, but he just decided to try to shoot everything out of me. So that didn't work.
How many games? Who won the prizes in that event?
Dave Bowl did. He won the overall.
Yeah. We had poor Sam. Something which I can't imagine. I don't know why this isn't clarified in the thing because I can't imagine it won't come up, but there's a prize for best overall, and there's a prize for best convergence player.
Sure.
And the same player can't win both, but there's nothing saying a convergence player can't win best overall. So if a convergence player has the most points, which of those prizes do they get?
That's valid. I think, do they get to pick, maybe?
And here's the issue. Let's say they get to pick.
Sure.
So let's say I played convergence, Brian played convergence, and Andy played Legion.
Sure.
I get most points.
Right.
Andy gets second most points, and Brian got third most points.
You get to pick which one of them gets an award.
Because if I pick best overall, the one that's left over is best convergence, which goes to Brian, who had the third most points. If I pick best convergence, the next one will go to best overall, which will be Andy, because he had second most points.
Yep.
So if I pick, or if the TO coin, like, depending on which one the TO gives to me, one of those two gets a prize and the other one doesn't.
Oh, wow.
Did that come up?
Yup. Actually, no, it might not have. I think Danny ended up it only mattered between Danny and Dave because they were both convergent. They had first and second, so which one got which prize came up.
Yeah. Right.
That scenario where it was a different second place did not, but I think it almost did, and Sam was near tears when it was possible.
Well,
it was
kind of a whiner.
They just
prior.
Didn't expect convergence I mean, to be able not. To win.
Right. They just assumed.
Yeah.
When I read it briefly, I thought one was for convergence.
Right, and that's the thing. Is like the whole time it was like convergence and non-convergence, but it's not. It's,
I am shocked launch event had shitty wording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Shocked.
Yeah, I asked about it on the forums. I mean, it's not Steamroller, so it's not really like the judge program's mostly Steamroller-based, but I still asked in that forum just because I don't like asking rules questions out in public. I feel ashamed.
Yeah, well, you should.
But there's not an answer to it.
So advertise it on our podcast.
Yeah.
Well,
so no one listens to this. No, so, Matt, John, I was just sarcastic there. I know you like sarcasm. I just wanted to point that out because you love sarcasm.
Hey, I heard you love avocados, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you not love avocados?
He doesn't because he's the devil spawn, yes.
No, so, you know, Katie's guacamole was not indicative of how good avocados normally are.
That's true.
Like, they don't grow with onions inside of them.
So did you guys
or
go,
apples.
Was there a raffle for the painted prize or did someone?
There was. He ended up doing a raffle for the painted prize, which Brian Culp won. And then he did a raffle for a door prize, which Brian Culp won.
What?
So... It happened.
Okay.
Same sheet got drawn twice in a row.
All right,
it seems
then.
Like they would have left his sheet out.
Well except I left everybody's sheets in when I did the random raffle at the end. Because, well, my painted prize wasn't a raffle. It was a vote.
Right.
But then when I did the door prize raffle, everyone was in there. So somebody who won a prize got the door prize.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's because it's a vote as opposed to, like, I randomly won
twice.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Sometimes you better be lucky than good.
Yeah.
Not for everyone else.
I guess
not for everyone else.
Yeah. Another convergence battle group would have been nice.
Yeah.
Tier.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you play Denny this time, Andy? I know you were talking about playing.
Actually, I did not play Denny.
You played Scar with six Helldivers, I think?
I was about to. I did not do that.
Did you do Scar with six Helldivers? That's so sexy.
I didn't do it. I was going to, and then I started again with Gorshade and then went with other folks and then just finished the day with Gorshade.
Yeah. It was funny hearing, like, behind me, Andy have an epiphany when he's like, wait, Helldivers can burrow the turn they come up? Because Andy normally, like, he plays trolls a lot more than he plays as Crix, so he's used to the burrowers. Helldivers just up, down. Fuck you.
Burrowers.
Yeah. Yeah, those things are pretty awesome.
Yeah, they're both.
Helldiver Mark 1, they used to leave a 5-inch rough terrain, and they had knockdown on their attack, and when it was crit knockdown, but when they came up, wasn't everything boosted or something?
Up,
yeah.
Booster attack.
Like, they were astounding in Mark 1. They were so dumb.
But they were 44 points.
Yeah, which is about the equivalent of 2.5 to 3 points now. So they were really expensive.
Yeah, right. Overpriced.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My favorite game that I played,
was
unfortunately.
33.
Either way, they were freaking insane.
How many points were you allowed to have in Mark 1?
We played 750 games most of the time.
500, I think, was more.
So
500 was 500 to 750, huh?
So they just, like, added a zero to everything?
Not quite. Hey, we'll discuss Mark 1 more soon.
Okay.
Yeah. But Andy had a favorite game he wanted to talk about, and then everybody interrupted him, and he looked sad.
Done.
That's fine. See, look what Andy, I tried to get you
I
in.
Do. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sad. Andy, I want to know about your favorite game.
Nope.
Wow. Fuck you then. Moving on. Let's talk about Mark 1 then.
All right. Mark 1 was a thing.
You want to, Andy, do you have the question up there? Or did you?
No, I didn't have the question.
Somebody last week in the Zappity Grumble thing asked us, basically, given how bad Mark 1 is, like, people talk smack about Mark 1. How did War Machine survive? Why was it popular, etc.?
And not only how did it survive, against Games Workshop, if it was that crazy?
And so we thought that was too good. Well, here, I will read it, because Katie will hold it up. You guys often comment about the problems the game had before the Mark 2 rules were introduced. How did it overcome them to become as popular as it is today, especially since it did so in the shadow of the Games Workshop products? So we thought that was a good question, so instead of giving it a 10-second/rambly answer on the lightning round, we thought it deserved a topic.
Long, rambly answer?
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, this is you guys, because neither Katie or I were around for that.
Well, the big thing I'll point out is that Mark 1 was worse than Mark 2. It was still better than Games Workshop games.
What is Games Workshop games?
Like Warhammer. The big thing with Games Workshops is they're... I'm not going to go full-on bashy mode here, at least not our way, but the big thing is that Games Workshop games are not competitively balanced. They're for casual games, and so the tournament scene for them is awful.
They're built to be, you know, you group with a bunch of friends, and you play games with a bunch of friends, kind of as a beer and pretzels game. That's really their core mechanic. It doesn't fit well in a tournament setting because the rules are really loosely written.
And ambiguous.
Ambiguous. So, I mean, the idea is for Games Workshop's idea for solving an issue, a rules issue, is just to roll a d6.
And just okay.
Well, on a 1-3, it goes one way. On a 4-6, it goes that way.
Right.
So, a lot of rules, like the thing I was just talking about, like with the tourney, with the convergence thing, like which way, you know, does it work with that prize breakdown? Most of the rule, a lot of the rules in the Games Workshop books are just as ambiguous, like core rules.
So how does it become compared to if it's not if it's a beer and pretzel game?
Because they have a huge tournament scene.
But why?
People make it
because they existed
first. A tournament game.
Warhammer was the first hugely popular, widely spread. It's played around the world by thousands and thousands of thousands of people. It owned the market.
Yeah.
Like until War Machine came out, until Privateer Press did War Machine and Hordes, there was nothing. Nothing else. There were little niche things that 50 people would play, and they'd be fun little things, or like, you know, the Starship Troopers. They'd be these little like one-off little things, but there was nothing huge. There was nothing worldwide mass appeal breakthrough, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, unless I'm missing something, I don't think there was anything on the scale.
No, I mean, you had your you had your niche games, like your historical group. Historical games were on forever. That's a very small people.
Well, yeah, and actually, that's an also small good point too. Is that the historical games is really what brought about Warhammer?
Yeah,
but Warhammer introduced a lot of things that are not necessarily needed in historical, like magic, and I'm talking about Warhammer Fantasy here.
Yeah,
not 40K. 40K is an entirely different beast.
Which one came first?
It was fantasy.
Okay. I guess I'm bringing us a bit far afield from the Mark 1 question, but
no. I mean, it's...
But the evolution of Warhammer matters, because that shows how different the War Machine was, and that's why War Machine succeeded. Yeah. Like, Warhammer started from the fluff and the world and the models first. Like, they're like, here's some awesome-looking griffins and goblins and dwarves. Here's enough rules for you guys to figure out how to play a game based on it with your friends. Here's cool space marines and aliens and wizards and stuff that look awesome, and here's just enough rules to be semi-functional to play some fun games. And that was enough for people, and they got popular, and people had a lot of fun with them. And that's part of the reason why, like, the 40K or the Warhammer fans are all so hardcore into painting. They're also gung-ho about the hobby aspect, converting, things like that, because that's way, way bigger, because Warhammer games are hobbies you can play. They're not games that you assemble and paint. Like, they really, one comes first.
That's fair.
You know, which is also why, like, Adepticon, that's why there's a paint, you have to have every model painted at Adepticon, because Adepticon's a Warhammer convention.
It started as a 40K convention.
Well, it still is. There's still way more Warhammer people than War Machine people.
But every Warhammer event is, everything has to be painted, mandatory.
Not anymore.
Maybe not anymore. Okay, they pulled back. But that was
because of the change of the system of War Machine Hordes and other systems like that that promote gameplay than the actual hobby aspect.
Well, with War Machine, if you want to turn about being like the except for, you know, X amount of rounds, 95% of events are won by the person who's undefeated.
Right.
Warhammer is won by the guy who not only has a good record, but also has a high painting score, has a high sportsmanship score, has a high composition score. And a couple of those scores are all player input, so that really tweaks how the scoring system goes.
The sportsmanship score is insane. Like, it just, it really is. Like, your score is dependent on what your opponents give you.
Typically, when you beat your opponent, you give them a high marks for sports because you're trying to be nice, and you someone beat you, so obviously they're a bad sport, so they get a low sports score.
Like, there's no control over it.
There's no, like, if they get a 0-2 if they whine, or they get a 3-4 if they're...
Some systems try to
have some. If I beat you and you're just a bitter, petty asshole, and you just give me the lowest score possible, oh well. Sucks to be me.
Game groups would go The Minnesota crew was really known for this. They would travel together to an event, and every score that was marked by a player, when they fought anyone, it would get the lowest scores automatically, and they fought themselves.
They get the highest
scores automatically.
And then they just win the event because they skew across the table.
That seems,
or even like, yeah.
It's a gentleman's game.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It doesn't sound like it's very gentlemanly.
Well, it's not, but it's
intended. If you are gentleman, then the game works. Because if you are honest and decent and whatever, you don't get into petty rules arguments, you don't game the sportsmanship system. You know, you wouldn't even, the comp system wouldn't even need to exist. The comp system's also hilarious. Imagine in War Machine, if you brought Morvana too, and they're just like, well, she's just too good, you're not allowed to win.
So we're just going to give
you less points. No, not less points. No, it would be like, what's really good with Morvana 2 is Skinwalkers. You have Skinwalkers on there. If you have that, then your win is only like half.
Yeah, they don't count as full wins because your list was too
correct.
Good.
You played Gatsby, so you don't get full credit. Because exactly. Gatsby's
well, you played
good.
Gatsby with Bile Thralls.
Right.
You know, it's and so that's the thing is like,
if you play Gatsby with
that
Drudge
system
Slave,
exists,
then you're fine.
Yeah. That system exists. Like, those things kind of would work if we were all playing the game for fun. We're like, you know, come on, you know, that's too good. Let's whatever. But as a worldwide tournament thing, it doesn't work.
Right. Well, that is actually an interesting event if you had, like, to help your meta come up with more creative lists, have a tournament where you can't play.
Well, that's why Muse did the No Clutch last year.
Yeah.
Or No Crutch,
no
rather,
crutch.
Last
yeah.
year.
Which was actually a really good idea for the
no
community.
Clutch. No Clutch. No Clutch.
It seemed kind of clutch.
I would miss
to me.
Clutch. I love Clutch.
I do too.
Hot Carl.
So Mark won.
Yeah. So that's the thing is, War Machine didn't have all this bullshit. War Machine is a tightly written.
Was it tightly written in Mark 1?
It was tightly written.
The first few books, I mean, they got like any system, it got bloat.
But the rules were tightly written.
The rules were fairly tightly written.
I guess the other small thing, too, is the release schedule. We're going back to Warhammer, but the release schedule for Warhammer and 40K was very this army's coming out here. 6 months later, this army's coming out here. 6 months later, this army's coming out here. So you have people sitting there waiting sometimes years for their army book to come out.
And the army book wouldn't even just be new stuff. It would be a rewriting of, like, your new book would come out, all your models would change, and you'd get new models.
And some models you have just didn't exist anymore.
Oh my gosh. Literally just, they just like, yeah. Oh yeah, we got rid of Bane Thralls in this book.
And different people wrote
that
different
makes sense
books.
If they're not trying to balance it at all. Right. They just.
Oh, yeah, because so you get into
and different people wrote different
so
books.
So you get like a six. I love Warhammer Fantasy 6th edition. I played that for years.
Seventh, sixth, and seventh.
It would come out, and the guy behind the game would be like, "Okay, this is how we're gonna pace the game like this." And the first like three books all have the same similar feel, but then someone else kind of takes over. It's like, okay, now these new races are super powerful, so now I get this weird imbalance because different people are writing it with their own approach. So suddenly, certain armies just crush other armies. There hasn't been a new, like Jim played Bretonians, and there still hasn't been a, like, that's been, he played them 4 or 5 years ago, and there still has not been a new book for that faction.
Even longer, I mean, that's like 2003.
Yeah, that's been like a decade
like,
since
that
Bretonians
faction hasn't
got a book.
That faction hasn't got.
Let me look and see when Bretonian book last was released.
Now, to be fair, the challenge War Machine is going to have is because every book has new releases for everything. There's at some point, I think they're going to have too many things unless they start doing a lot of like alternate. Alternate UAAs and stuff.
Let's take a step because we want to get into that later. About
later. Oh yes, true.
Yeah. So let's step back.
So Mark won.
Yeah.
Mark won was pretty interesting. I mean, people complain about here and there, but honestly, it was a lot. I mean, we played it so much and it was traveling, and that's where because even from then, the Perpetual Press has approached it as a more tournament focused event. So even from the very beginning. They wanted to make, I mean, Steamroller 2. I mean, I played an old in Steamroller 1. I played in from Steamroller 1 till current.
And Steamroller was in Mark 1, right?
I have a quick question for Andy. Was it this millennium?
It was this millennium, but the last time the Bretonium book was released was in 2003.
Yeah, a decade ago.
Yep.
Okay.
A decade. And they still haven't gotten their new army book, and that was in 6th edition. Yeah. They've already gone two editions. Since that point, they're about to release 9th edition for Warhammer Fantasy, and they still haven't released a new Bretonium book.
Yeah, they don't like them.
That's
to be fair, that would make me crazy in War Machine.
Yeah, just think of Retribution never getting a release.
Yeah. And then next month, $500 in releases.
Yeah, and for that one faction, yeah.
Yeah, it's like
and all the shit that you own now?
Worthless,
That shit's broke. You can't use it anymore.
So that's the thing is, like, nitpicks about, like, you know, the individual nitpick rules, like there's stuff in Mark 1 that drove me insane, like retroactively thinking about it. Like if you charge and you hit rough terrain, your charge immediately ended. There was no charging in, if you were in rough terrain at all. It was illegal. Disabled jacks, you know, stuff like that. Like, remember that they're like, oh my god. Like, a lot of stuff was jack related. Disabled jacks were awful. Power attacks, you were -2 to your attack roll when doing any power attack. But it didn't matter because nobody brought jacks anyway because jack points weren't a system. So
all the jacks just got basically a +1 mat bonus, a bump in.
Yeah, they were all like 1 mat lower. Oh my and god. They were power. It was, like, jacks were bad in Mark 1, so nobody used them. But all that aside, that's Mark 2 being better than Mark 1. That's not Mark 1 being bad. And Mark 1 didn't go insane. It went insane with rules the last book. But when it first started, like when War Machines first took off, the rules were tight. You knew what they meant. If they said blank means blank, blank meant blank. You didn't have to argue with your opponent on it. It was clear.
Pathfinder was the same through different factions. It was... Now, the definition was the same.
And that's the thing. Like, or like in the rules forums, a lot of times you'll go in the rules forums or somebody will ask a question and the answer is, well, what does the card say?
Yeah.
Because you can't do that in Warhammer. Like it says, well, what does the book say? Well, the book says this. Well, that doesn't help. that's a legitimate thing, and that wasn't in War Machine.
Yeah, the book says this, but the actual core rule book says this for this situation. I'm like, well, which one is right? Well, yeah. Then you would have to wait for 8 months, 2 years before they would come out with an FAQ to fix whatever the issue was.
So War Machine was a better competitive game and a better tournament game.
And
even with the brokenness.
Even with the brokenness, because it was fairly, it wasn't that broken to start. It was very like goes to 11, but it wasn't off the rails.
Everyone
went to 11. I mean, that's the thing is like people complaining aside, the faction, even now, but especially back then before a lot of the releases, were fairly even. Like War Machine is still well balanced. It's not like again with Warhammer, you could take Army X against Army Y, and Army Y might as well just go home. Like they will literally cannot. And it's not like specific buildups. It's not like Mercs versus Kricks, and if the Merc player brought Seerforge and Kricks bought nothing but Incorporeal and Stealth, you're boned. It's just like, oh, you're playing demons and I'm playing elves. That might be a bad example. I don't play the game, but whatever. Like you're playing demons, I'm playing elves. I just lose. Literally no builds can change this between the two of us.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really exist in War Machine.
At the end of Mark 1, it existed a little bit, but very last days where trolls just did not beat Kricks at the end of Mark 1.
It was just the last thing.
But, I mean, that took a long time, and then they acknowledge a problem. And then they
rebuild it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a tremendous power creep at the very end of War Machine Mark 1. I mean, especially with the last books. Legends was really crazy.
And Domination as well.
Was it Domination?
Domination or...
Domination's a book in Mark 2.
Evolution?
Unfortunately, some of those casters got
punished.
What was
the last one in Mark 1?
So some of those casters got punished the most when Mark 2
shooting 40 times into your opponent's deployment zone at the top of turn 1 was a thing at the end of Mark 1.
Seems bad.
Lilith 2 would literally, if you went first, you would go, okay, feet, and you shot into their deployment zone 40-something times.
Epic Morgul blinded everyone in 10-inch zone.
His feet was blind. 10-inch blind.
If he could see you, he could blind you. Next door gave him ghost sight.
Yeah.
Which is, so.
But yeah, it was just insane. Ryas Warchief, the Warchief would, it every time it hit something, it moved anywhere based to base with that model, and it had Berserk, and you could between its normal Berserk, a spell, and an Animus, it would have 3 initial attacks, and so it would have to miss 3 times before it stopped teleporting around the table killing models, and every time it killed something at +1 strength and armor, so it would kill 30 things and then just murder a jack and just sit there, and she could bring 2 of them. It was insane.
Metamorphosis,
that was it, yeah. But before all that, like the point is, it competitive wise, it was a much cleaner, tighter, more equal game.
Right.
You didn't have to paint, which helped a lot for people who wanted to play the game, and for casual players, like you know, you that requirement wasn't there.
Yeah.
Really, Mark. Honestly, Mark 1 was really about page 5.
Yeah.
Is you just brought your best game and you just played your best game.
Get in there and kick some ass.
Yeah.
It's a shame I don't have the old documents, but it'd be interesting to watch the transition of Steamroller from what it used to be to what it is today, too. That'd be a whole different topic. But I
honestly think that the adding Hacksaw into the Steamroller is... Adding him to the mindset of Steamroller is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Helped the game a lot in the tournament sense.
We love you, Hacksaw!
Yeah, because Steamrollers, the first versions of Steamrollers were solid, but they're... Sometimes could be tremendously broken by casters, and then you know the evolution in the Steamroller now is so good.
Yeah, it is really good.
Because guys, oh, victory point sniping—that was a thing.
Yeah, for a while, if the game ended, you would, yeah, victory, if
models it, you, were worth not call, just their point cost, they had a victory point value.
And if there was dice down, the second player got to finish their turn.
Oh, God.
So they could just figure what, because you could move forward completely unhinged. There was no threat of death because it was your last turn. And you could count a VP, so you could say, okay, we're at 0 control points, 0 control points, because that's how a lot of Mark III was. I just need to kill four.
Mark 1.
Well, Steamroller 3 was. Steamroller 3 was the one that. It was fun, but that was where they had the big problem where you second player got to finish his turn, and then it was all about VP sniping.
Yeah.
It was the most atrocious thing in the world. Yeah,
that happened at Gen Con, one of the masters there. I don't think the person actually won the whole thing, but definitely upset a lot of people.
I mean, it's how it is. I mean, are you going to not?
Commander M won. Our local, he won Gen Con, and he dominated our tournament for a year in Mark III because he played Testament. He'd bring all his stuff back, and he'd win the game like two kill points to zero or whatever. It would be some atrocious end of game score because he would bring his army back constantly. Testament was unstoppable in Steamroller 3 in that format. It was hilarious.
Interesting.
But even still, you didn't have to rely on sportsmanship score or comp score or any of that stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
And it also, for an entry level player, I mean, it still is like this, the Warcaster mechanic means it's also cheaper entry level. When you complete your whole faction or whatever, like obviously this is not a cheap hobby no matter what system you go into. But if you have a 25-point army and you buy one model, you now have two 25-point armies.
Right.
And that's a very, very nice pocketbook mechanic.
it is good. And you do see a lot of people that have less spending money getting in. Like, I don't think there's any way Malachi could get into Warhammer. One of our local players.
We've seen a ton of people getting into Warhammer as little kids too.
Really?
Yeah. You get their allowance and they just buy them, new mod.
They don't have to pay for gas. They don't have to pay for anything. Like, yeah.
But a big issue is
$10. They have $10 to spend on whatever.
Yeah,
but they're going to have the difference is they're going to have one army.
Yes.
They there isn't the swap out Scar for Denny and have two armies aspect much in it.
But if
they're a kid and they just want one list, yeah.
They're just, and they also probably don't understand the, if I get this, I get two of it. Like, that might be a little bit over their head at that point.
But it's like when I was a kid, I had 40K and we bought a Orcs versus Space Marines two army starter thing. Like, me and two of my buddies pooled our money. We bought it and we divvied up. One guy got the orcs, one guy got half the space marines, and the other got the other half of the space marines and modded the shit out of them so that he had a chaos army.
Nice.
And so all three of us had an army, mm-hmm. and we would just play on Fridays with the armies we had,
mm-hmm.
and we played the game. So it's you can get into it cheap, but you're not going to go win an Adepticon with that.
No. It's
although, yeah, I mean, you're going to not win Adepticon with just one or two lists. Like, you kind of need to own your faction to win Adepticon and War Machine, too.
Sure, War Machine you do, but yeah.
Yeah. So, that argument loses its water depending on – there's different levels. There's entry level and I own everything anyway, but in the middle there, when you're getting into it, it's very nice to be able to buy one model and change up everything.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yep.
Sounds cool. I can see why War Machine Mark I did well.
But then another question that someone had that follows up really nicely with this is how do you feel about the direction that – the game is going now.
And Brian started to touch on that a couple minutes ago.
Well, one thing that Mark II did off the bat that was great that Mark I did, towards the end of Mark I, there was a lot of when do things trigger. Like, what triggers when? There was all this confusion. And Mark II is a nice, handy chart of, box, remove from play, all these things. And that just is such a catch-all to so many problems in the game. Because it even says, if there's a tie, this player activates his ability first. And that chart has really solidified Mark II. I think a lot. It keeps the lifespan of the game going a long way. Things have been up for a while, I'm not a huge fan of future based models. I'm not excited when I see them.
I would agree. I don't like what they did for the game.
Well, they made it so that you like some of the circle models that are just not really.
Well, it's not just circle. Everybody's got something.
That's the one I know, but it's just not feasible to really take them unless you're going to take Gorax because you can't break armor anymore. Like, you just have to plan for someone putting it down.
But a year ago, you had to plan for Iron Flesh Kayazi. I mean, you always had to plan for, like, Defense 19. Now you have to also
plan for
Armor 20.
Sure, but now
I need
to plan for Defense 19 and Armor 24. And Armor 24 with not 36 boxes, but 64 boxes.
Right.
Or whatever the hell. Like,
I mean, Nathan's right. Every year there's something new to plan for, but I just...
There is.
I mean, there's always... And next year there'll be something new to plan for. So the evolution of the game is actually a good thing. Every year there's something different, but I still... I just feel more negatively. If every change that's happened, I adjust for the Colossals, too, the huge base models. I mean, I modify my list and I just deal with it. They don't give me problems, but I just don't like them. I mean, it's a thing I don't like.
I don't think it's a game-ending thing at all.
No, but I agree that I don't like it.
So I have a question. Like, one of the things that you mentioned was at the end of Mark 1, everything started to get, like, ridiculously high-powered, and do you feel like it's going in the same direction? Because you're starting to come out with...
Not for Crick. The best things in Crick came out at the beginning of Mark 1, with a couple exceptions. It's amazing, but everything else...
I don't think the Colossals are better. I don't think point for point they're overpowered. I think they're fairly well balanced. Like, you can object to the way they shift the meta as a whole, but I don't think like they're as insane, off the chart, ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel Galleon, I win all the time. It's not a Ryas Warchief combo. You know, it's not.
No, it's good, but it's not broken.
It's not going to end the game. I don't think.
You know, it's stuff like for example, at the end of Mark 1, the best Jack in the game was the Cankerworm, this cheap little white light Jack, because it had all these weird special things. Like, it had sprint, essentially. It had, if it killed a living model, it got a free
focus.
It got a focus, so it could buy attacks. It could get itself a reach weapon, which meant it was wiping out units against anything that had corrosion on it. It had armor piercing. With every single attack, it was armor piercing. If you're like, so it was just, you know, you'd get corrosion on something, and then it was just insane. It would one round heavies with two focus and just run away.
Yeah,
you know, it's just crazy stuff like that. And none of the Colossals, even the super good ones like Stormwall or Axiom or whatever, they're not that insane.
No. I just think, like, if I have to play against high defense, which you should do. The investment into my list isn't that big of a deal, but when I have to invest into anti-armor, it's a much huger list. I feel two things. One, the list possibilities shrinks more because of Colossals than anything else. There's still variety, but that's the biggest shift in the reduction in modern.
What's funny is if you have to ask yourself what can deal with high defense infantry and can deal with high armor, the answer is almost always a Colossal.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing.
And my thing with Colossals, I just don't think they're that much fun. I mean, that, regardless of rules-wise, to me, the fun of the game has been diminished because of those things. So,
I would say that huge bases is the wrong word, though, because I actually liked Battle Engines and still do like the Battle Engines and what they brought to the table.
But I don't
feel that way about Colossals, personally.
I would actually agree.
Brian's a Scorn and Crypt player, so his Battle Engines suck. But
I like the Wraith Engine.
It's not bad. The Scorn one's pretty terrible.
I mean, I have an amazing Gargantuan.
Yeah, and the Mammoth's amazing.
And I love it, but I don't enjoy it.
Don't want to play it.
Yeah, so it's a weird thing.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not even trying to be like sour grapes, because I mean, admittedly, I think Rhett and Legion got shafted on their Colossal and Gargantuan, respectively. I just don't like playing around Colossal. I don't like the fact that I have to play Ossian and Rhett. Like, Rhett can't legitimately handle a meta where someone can field two Colossals without Ossian. They just can't.
Maybe.
A lot of heavy jacks.
I think if you have an Arcanist buff up a couple Phoenixes and they head into one of those things, they'll tear it apart.
At pound 19, no. They really don't.
Well,
most Colossus... Most
Colossus armor like 20 pound 19?
Any buffed Colossal.
They're still not going to be
a buff. What model do you have in your army that can get rid of buffs?
Admittedly,
that is epic eras. It could
also
shoot those buffs right off.
Only Batten Spinied Galleon is getting that high.
Yeah.
Even 21, even a 21 Stormwall. The thing is,
I'm
not saying a one Stormwall meta. Like, if they were FA1, I might feel differently.
Yeah.
But any time when it's possible that someone can bring two Stormwalls.
I do think they're FA. They should be FA1.
It's possible to bring two Galleons. Like, Rhett can't play against that without Ossian.
Because, I mean, a Phoenix is power 19 charging is one of the focus, buying two attack. I mean, he's going to hit three times.
Yeah.
But still, one's the three dice minus one, the other two are just two dice minus one. It's not that.
I'm not even doing half of a grade of the Phoenix. Yeah. Like, literally, two Phoenixes don't kill. An unbuffed Colossal harm, two Phoenixes can kill if I use all my focus.
They should be FA1. What's funny is, in my mind, 90% of the time it's correct to only bring one. There's only a couple skew lists, so it wouldn't have hurt for them to just be FA1.
But even I think if they're FA1, I'd be pissed, but at FA2, I'm really pissed. Yeah. Like,
I really
don't like it.
I personally think that if they were going to revisit them, they should make them FA1.
Yeah, I mean, it's too late now, but...
Well, right.
But, I mean, yeah. I mean, that way... You'd probably see still huge bases. You'd still see them in the battle engines.
Yes,
like, you know, like Signar, you would still see like the Stormstrider with the Stormwall, you know,
sure,
or something like that.
God, I haven't seen a Stormstrider in forever.
Oh, that's
because the Stormwall just outclasses it.
Those things are just, oh, they're actually annoying as hell to deal with, too.
They are. Like, and the thing is, I liked the fact that the battle engines felt thematic. The battle engines felt very much in faction. The battle engines felt playable and strong, but not impossible to kill. Like, I liked everything about the battle engines. I really did.
I mean, you run the risk of people spending, you know, $150 for a resin-based model that if you would, like, limit it to only Unbound games and keep the 75 points and less to be just uncolossaled, I guess, or gargantuan.
But then everyone's going to be so pissed at all the money they spent on all their colossals.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Privateer Press really can't do that at this point.
Yeah, no, I know.
That ship has sailed.
FA1 would have been good.
Yes. If the SKU list was one colossal, that's very different from the SKU list being two colossals.
And that's not even a SKU. I mean, that's just...
Well, it would. I mean, it is a SKU. Compared to what normal armor lists are, a one colossal that you can put a buff on is kind of an armor SKU. It's an armor SKU you can deal with.
But instead of... they won't have as many heavies out there.
Exactly.
So it's not...
Well, but they were only... most factions were only bringing one heavy anyway. Like, that's the thing. Is in a world where most people only bring one jack...
That's my point.
Yeah.
Because instead of being...
I understood your point, but I didn't interrupt you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Katie, shut up. Stop talking, you're a girl. You don't know anything. We're going to stupid. Your shirt's stupid.
Anyway.
You play Circle. How often do you bring more than one heavy? Come on.
Yeah, right? They never do.
What do you know?
I usually only just bring the little wood guy. I forget his name. The little...
Mannequin?
The little
wood
guy.
Not the mannequin.
The wold.
The wold.
Stalker.
The little
guardian.
Wold.
The little wold.
The little wold.
Shrimps?
Oh, the baby shrimp.
No. There's
no,
like
the white. Shrimp,
the
white.
The
white. She's lights. Talking about the white wold. The, yes.
The shield guard thing?
The wold guardian.
Sure.
Yeah,
I
the wold
talking,
guardian.
Yeah.
Okay.
The wold watcher.
I don't know.
Watcher. Whatever it is. The point is, the
little
yes.
guy.
Whoa.
Other than the Colossals track we got down, how do people feel about the balance of the game?
Well, it's not even balance. The question isn't balance. It's the path the game's taking.
Right.
And the thing that I worry about, and there's...
Well, that's what I did bring up a little bit.
I asked this last War Machine weekend at the Q&A they were having, but there's no way to answer this question. So, of course, they blew it off. And I don't blame them because there is no answer to the question. Is that 5 years from now, somewhere down the line, they're just going to have too much shit.
Yeah.
There's going to be too much stuff. And, I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, when there's, 300 different things you can bring in your Signar list, like, that's just too much stuff.
It almost makes – then you almost get into more SKU lists, more rock, paper, scissors, where you literally can't – because when you go to an event, you want to bring two lists that can counteract a lot of things. But eventually, when there's 500 things per faction, you can't.
And not only can't, but you won't know. Like, somebody's starting the game. Like, you can kind of figure out, like, you can – I know most units and solos, and I even don't know all of them. I mean, I played this game for years, and I don't sure. know. I don't think if I tried to list everything in Kador, I would forget things.
Sure.
But I would forget one or two things, and it wouldn't necessarily be that big of a deal, and I probably forget them because they're not that good and people never bring them anyway. Like, I might not have listed assault commandos. I might have just forgotten about them. But when there's like 500 things, and then you're trying to learn this game, and you go to your first tournament, these people have models you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Like, it's just too much stuff.
Yeah. Well, and the design.
And what are they going to do? Like, to me, that's an
I think the direction they're going right now is more of making alternates
yep.
to the existing units, and we're seeing that with the Black Dragons, with the Silverine Halberdiers. Yep. I think that's the direction they're going to be trying to go into, is making alternate versions.
Right.
Like, we might see like a different version, like an Ironclad Mark II or something like that. You know, like a different. Yep.
And maybe years from now there will be five different UAs for the Iron Fang Pikemen. You know, yeah. I mean, I don't know. But even like when there's like 50 casters per faction, I mean, it's just like – it seems eventually – and that's – I mean, God willing, this company's going strong and this eventually comes 15 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, but eventually they're going to have to think of something to do.
Well, if you don't rotate, which I understand why they don't rotate, because they don't want you to lose the things that you bought. They don't want them to be useless anymore. But you only have three options. Eventually you hit a wall where the thing you release is crap compared to what already exists. The thing that you release introduces major power creep. Or
the thing you release,
is irrelevant.
Yeah, because it's the same.
Those are your three options. Eventually you hit a design space wall if you don't ever retire anything. And like I'm amazed that they've gone as many years as they have, as strong a design space as they have. Like, more power to them. That's amazing. And I've seen lots of games die much, much earlier than War Machine and Horde Tabs.
Well,
but
each book has only been, since since Wrath, each book has only been releasing just like a few things per faction. They've really slowed down on the output.
The last Hordes book had a lot of stuff in it.
Yeah. You're thinking of Colossals.
Well, even still, most of them pared down.
The older days, they were still more per book.
Yeah. There's usually about a good seven things per faction each book that came out. Like, Wrath had a lot of stuff. Colossals and Gargantuans. Gargantuans has more because it's... Yeah. Technically, Hordes is about 2 years behind, technically, still. So.
And, I mean, lots of people got really upset about the lack of stuff in the Colossals book. They were like, all my faction got was a caster, a Colossal, and...
Well, because of that, I mean, Crix hasn't had a new release in over a year. Yeah. It's kind of weird. I mean, I don't care much, but I mean, it's weird when you think
about it. Yeah, and I don't disagree. It is, and it... That is one way to combat the issue of power creep versus crap versus irrelevant, but it's not a very fulfilling thing. Like, I almost feel like at some point they have to introduce some sort of cycling.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean,
yeah, I don't
know if they ever will.
I don't think they don't. I don't think that's healthy for the game at all. It's basically telling you that, you know, your Houseguard Halberdiers, they're not good anymore.
They couldn't do that. What they could possibly do. That would just be insane. It would be like a last-ditch resort. Like, they couldn't do that. They can't just say, hey, you're not allowed to bring long gunners anymore.
Right.
They can't do that. But, hypothetically, you know, the fluff could happen. Vinter could come back, whatever, and they can say, okay, Signar's done. We're done releasing models for Signar. No, like, we're done releasing models for Signar. Yeah. Signar is a complete faction. Here's a new faction we'll start releasing models for. Like, they could retire factions from getting more stuff, but keep them legally playable.
Yeah,
that would be drastic as hell, and I don't think they ever would do it. But hypothetically, it would be doable.
That would make sense, though, because then you would be keeping in order to be able to do that, you'd have to make sure that there wasn't power creep, so that they stayed competitive,
right?
And so it would keep them in check with themselves.
Well, maybe that's what the whole idea with releasing
like convergence. What I'm saying is they could retroactively
they're playtesting this idea.
They could have Signar say, you know what, Signar could beat Protectorate and conquer them, and then Protectorate could be a completed faction with maybe trickle releases future like convergences.
Sure.
They hypothetically could do stuff like that.
Yeah,
it would be drastic, but it's doable.
The thing is, they have to do something. They've talked about. And they've talked about this repeatedly, Privateer Press has, that they're playtesting things, was it, 3 or 5 years out? Like, some ridiculous number of years.
They're usually a year or two ahead. That's no more than that. But they're usually between 1 or 2 years ahead.
I mean, so
they probably have an idea, and then they probably have to come up with rules about how it would work, and then they would have to playtest it for a year. Because the thing is, if you have, you know, 20 people playtesting it or whatever, it's a very limited creative base to come up with the different ways to use that model.
And they're a company, so all they care about, making money is obviously the most important thing.
They need to be successful.
Shut down Signar, I guess their only fear is, well, how many people only play, like with Warhammer Fantasy, both Warhammers, I think more players jump around armies a lot more, and there are definitely a lot of people who do that in War Machine. I mean, I don't. I'm done with two factions. So if like Crix and Scorn were closed, I'm not buying a third faction. There's nothing in the world would motivate me to buy a third faction. If a third faction came out that was just amazing, I would get rid of a faction and then jump into a faction.
Right.
Because I have hit my limit. It's a self-imposed limit.
Yeah.
But there's enough people like me that they're like, well, if we limit
one
War
Machine, one Horde is a common limit.
Yeah. So I think they're afraid of that a little bit in regards to that idea. I think it's a good idea, though.
Would be that they're still making the sales, because you would sell your faction to Nathan, so...
Or some new player.
Or some new player, but you would still be going out and selling.
But some people would be like, or I'm just like, I'm done. I'm just going to play what I need to spend money again.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, like, I mean, it would take a long time for them to do something where Crix would be unplayably bad. Yeah, like, they would have to put some thought into it.
So you say that, but people hop factions all the time.
A lot of people do. I think more people do that than, like, what I do.
Right. And so I think if they are doing something with convergence, like, they're just seeing how many people will jump to it.
That medium infantry is very tempting to me. I've been looking at my Crix and Scorn trying to think which one you're going to go so I can get myself some medium.
And especially
infantry.
If it
they're
plays.
So good.
Oh, the yes, I do love the medium based infantry for convergence.
Especially if it plays a lot differently, like you're gonna people yeah. are going to buy it or at least buy a starter pack or something. So they're not necessarily losing sales. They're just because at some point, if everyone owns all of Menoth, like there's not a whole lot left for them to buy anyway. So introducing a new faction.
So here's
like a Crix player hasn't been able to buy anything new for the last year, like you said. So I mean, they're still playing in tournaments with everything that's out. And you know, if they really wanted more stuff, they could just pick up another faction,
more themeless, fill it out.
Here's another way that they can also do things in eras. You have like a, you know, early Thornwood at War era type war machine. You have later, etc. Going on from there, you can also go into alternate timelines, which has...
You can have Kato, you can have Karchev back in the day, you can have Old Witch back in the day.
Yep.
Or, the thing I was thinking with alternate timelines when you mentioned that is like, okay, here's a new deck. All of Rhett, these are alternate cards if you play in the alternate time. Like, how would you have these different stats and these different rules?
But that doesn't change the model glut. That wouldn't solve at all what we're talking about.
But it would, because they wouldn't have to introduce new models, but it hurts them from the sales point.
Yeah, yeah, they wouldn't be able to sell anything.
Well, unless someone wants to buy the, I mean, someone that doesn't own Rhett's like, oh, well, now I want to buy Rhett because of the new.
Whatever yeah, way. But that's going to be less likely. That's going to be way lower than the number of people like, wow, now I never have to buy another model because I'll buy a $10 deck.
Yeah, right. I could see them doing eras though. You know, like you have like a different Berserker model that they could sell that would be from that timeline, the Thornwood era.
Would it be playable with the normal stuff, though?
No, because it would almost be like Mercs, where you have to pick a contract. Yep. So instead of Highborn 4-star Pirates, it would be I'm playing in 600 AR, or I'm playing in 400 AR, or I'm playing in, you know, whatever.
I mean, the other thing is we could completely wrong, and they could just be slowing down the War Machine Horde stuff and going into other games like they did with High Command. And that's how they're going to increase their revenue base. Because at the end of the day, that's what they care about. They care about maintaining their current sales and increasing it.
Well,
and
yeah.
We're thinking that the only way to increase it is to introduce new models. They could just introduce different games.
Well, then the extreme question is, like, hypothetically, if they retired the line, how does Privateer Press go on without War Machine and Hordes?
Well, they might replace it with something
if the side games made a ton more money and had profit.
Yeah. Or they create a new game. Was Monpok out simultaneously with War Machine Hordes, or was it before?
No,
instead of having Mark III, they could have a new thing.
God, I miss Monpok.
It's a sad, sad moment, but that we'll never know about the actual reasoning behind.
Yeah.
Well, Men in Black.
Yeah.
Oh, sad.
All right. So that was... depressing ending.
So that was the last. That was two questions from last week. Zappity Grumble.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't think we have any new ones.
Time for some.
We don't have any new ones.
No, we didn't
post this week.
I tweeted on my way here.
Yeah, I saw it on Facebook.
Crap.
Yeah, and there's like 8 updates on my phone.
Why would you?
Also, I did have a Katie's Corner.
Yeah.
A very general Katie's Corner.
There's a Katie's Corner. There's all
be quick.
10 minutes. I'm leaving the room to go watch TV.
It's
10 minutes.
I'm going to Taco Bell. So.
But no, we get, come on. There's a DVR. It's going good. We're all right. We'll do like last week.
Taco Bell.
It'll be really quick.
Yeah, booyah. Yeah. So
Katie's Corner.
It's got a recommended thing and the stuff.
All right. So way back when, I don't know when I talked about when you finish a game and you're newer, you ask your opponent, "What could I have done better?" Even if you're experienced, what could I have done better? But something I read the other day, and then something I've always kind of believed, is the question that you should also be asking is, "What did I do right?" Because the article that I read, and you probably read it too, because I think it was on Cracked, is that people remember what they did right way more than they remember their mistakes. So when people say you learn from your mistakes, they're full of it, because you learn from what you did right. You don't remember all the things you did wrong, you remember the thing that you actually did right. So, so ask your opponent, what did I do right? And then the other thing that I've always believed is you can be great at what you're good at, but you can never be great at what you suck at. You can kind of be okay with it and like limp along. So you need to figure out what you're really, really good at in the game and concentrate on that and make that your strength.
That's just min-max it. Like whatever you're bad at, just mitigate it a bit, but try to get super good at what you're already good at versus trying to super improve what you're bad at.
Right. And this isn't a very good, because it's not a War Machine example, but like I suck at communication. I really do.
Really?
Yeah.
Sarcasm. Menoth John.
Shocking.
Our local Menoth John?
No.
Because our local Menoth John's a good example of that.
Because, why is she bad at communicating?
Yeah.
Different story. Yeah. For work and stuff, I've gone to communication classes to get better at it, and it's not happening. I have news about that. But what I am really good at is figuring out what people want when they ask me for something at work. And so that's something that I've learned to just concentrate on to make them happy. I don't have to be able to tell them things very well because they've learned that my work is what they want. And so it's not that I am incapable of completely explaining myself, because I am, and I am doing things to fix that, but I'm concentrating on the thing that I'm good at. And that's that was my whole thing. You guys can jump in.
I agree.
Yeah, I know. That's no.
No.
Yeah, I'm okay. Maybe.
I disagree.
I guess I'll allow it.
Anyway, quick Katie's Corner, Deputy Grumble time.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. The ask what you did right just as much as you did wrong. Gotcha.
It is an important thing to know.
Yeah.
I agree.
If you're using Iron Grudge, same thing. Good notes, bad notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, take notes, and it's every game, especially when you're first starting, is an experience, and you should take away whatever you can from that experience.
Yeah.
You know, if you got somebody that will be willing to sit down and tell you what you did good, that's good to go.
Well, Rick has, I don't know if it still is, but his quote on the Private Press forums for a long time, he had a quote that had a quote that I liked, which was, whether you win a game or lose a game, if you know why that happened, it was a successful game.
Right.
And that's a good thing. Like, you can just get crushed. And you're like, oh, I got crushed because I forgot that Nate's spell gave vengeance to his pirates. Like, that was a good game for Brian. It was a good game for me, too, because I learned that I'm really happy when I have my best game ever against a good opponent. But don't look so sad, Brian. He's playing on his phone.
I'm not.
You're just angry because it's 7:55, so Breaking Bad starts in 5 minutes.
I'm getting my phone to turn off all internet access so someone can't,
accidentally text. That is a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Text, yeah. Oh, my God, everyone just died. Yeah. I'm going in defensive measures.
Brace yourself.
Turtling.
So we should probably have the fastest Zappity Grumble round ever.
Actual lightning round. All right. Yeah. Everybody gets
T-minus 5 minutes and counting.
Everybody gets 1 second per question. We're going to go around the table. Andy's going to ask, and then we're going to answer in order, starting at Brian back to Andy, and then boom.
Stop talking.
Go, go, go.
Is that any grumble?
Faster
now,
quicker.
That's not fast, Andy. You're being ironic.
Best board game for a 7 and 11 year old. They already love Munchkin. More Munchkin. There's a ton of releases.
Carcassonne.
Hey, that's my fish.
I give up. You guys pick the ones I had in mind.
King of Tokyo.
Booyah!
Fantastic.
Grumble. Worst casters by faction.
Immortal.
I'm not knowledgeable enough.
Aurora's the worst in convergence. I'll go with Aurora in my current
faction. Yeah, I'm picking my faction, Gareth.
Zappity. Answer. Answer! Answer!
Pete Gristle.
Fuck you, Zappity.
Grumble.
It's canon, boy, and you know it.
Yeah, I know it's Gunbjorn.
Zappity.
Grumble. Worst. Best combo for Who's the Boss?
Zol, your mom.
Ashlyn with a convergence army.
I liked the Harbinger with Circle. That was amazing.
Evil Ed with Mage Hunter everything.
Oh, fuck you. Actually, Karchev leading a Scorn Force is pretty good.
Barnabas Trolls was... Carver Trolls was fucking ridiculous when Keith had that, too.
It was really good.
Zappity.
Grumble. Favorite type of donut?
Plain, vanilla, Long John.
This is my shock face.
Cream-filled. Not that whipped shit, but the custard.
Yes, Boston cream. Boston cream. Seconded.
I would have first said that, but I would get the wrong one. They get mad, so I always had to go for the plane.
I don't know why that other shit even exists. Yeah, it's a mockery, because you disgusting. Buy it and you're like, why? Oh! Yeah.
I like jelly-filled donuts.
Okay. That's fine, as long as you don't like the whipped cream shit.
Yeah.
Zappity!
Grumble. Holy fuck. What are your favorite alcohol beverages? How many times have you drunk so much that you've barfed? In Nationwide commercials, they show a house being burglarized and some hot chick replacing stuff. If John Damaris is burglarized, what faction would the chick replace his Menoth with? Cricks?
What the hell?
I like vodka. That's all I got out of that.
JD7.
Yeah, Jack Daniels.
You don't drink.
Well, I did drink. It was JD, and it was 7 vomiting.
7 and 7s are good stuff.
I almost drank yesterday.
I'm bored. A girl drink drunk, 0, and sure, Cricks.
Sure. I'm not picking the others, but Jack Daniels.
I like vodka.
My favorite drink is Blind Russian.
Yeah. Zappity.
Grumble. Oh my god, I'm gonna skip.
Go,
that
go,
one.
Go!
Worst porn you have seen? Describe in detail for the audience. It can be either production value or subject matter.
Jeremy Nathan's mom. It took forever. Nothing actually happened.
It's true.
It was a lot of grinding. There was really no moisture in the air.
They never got the moisture flowing. You're right.
No. It was Alex.
It was terrible.
I have nothing to add.
I'm going to tangent and answer the question you didn't ask, which is that, yes, I do own a porn that I bought specifically because it has director's commentary. I've told this story before.
Does it have bloopers?
It does have bloopers. It honestly has bloopers. There's one scene where they're having sex, and there's water that's really thin, ankle deep, so it's all cool effect. And there's a scene of a guy, he slips on it and falls on his ass.
Nice.
Good times. Zappity.
Grumble. If you could take only 3 albums to a deserted island, what would they be?
Battle of Hell 1, Battle of Hell 2, Battle of Hell 3. Perfect question. And true.
The Beatles' White Album, Gorillaz' Demon Days, and ABBA Gold.
I don't know albums that well. I would definitely choose a Beatles one, and then like a Regina Spektor one, I guess. I don't know.
I'm just going to forfeit. I'm terrible at music.
I just take my music collection with me. I would defeat the purpose of the question. Just take my whole collection.
I pick Boys to Men for my third one.
Right. On that note.
Zappity. Oh, Rumble. Man. Oh, I want to change mine. I forgot about America 4.
What am I
by Johnny Cash.
Oh, what about America, though? Or the Eagles?
Oh, Zappity!
I hate the fucking Eagles.
Grumble!
Grumble.
Address and Files or Monster Hunter International?
As soon as it hits 8, there'll be spoilers online. I'm throwing your laptop against the wall.
Yeah, that's just pretty true.
No, somebody's like spoiling. No, I'm not refreshing the page.
All right, not refreshing.
Go, go, go.
What was the question?
Dresden Files or
Monster Hunter International.
Or something that isn't Dresden Files. Dresden Files. Like, the answer is Dresden Files or anything else.
Yeah. Grumble.
Zap, what?
Pew, pew.
Pootie Tang.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a bear?
Yes.
You mean like the gay club bear or the animal?
All of the above.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
The gay club, the animal, the NFL team, just all of them. I fantasize about being all three simultaneously. A gay Ursine playing for the NFL.
Well, yeah, that's
with only one arm?
Yes.
One arm. You did describe the bears.
Yeah. Zappy. Right.
Grumble. What Halloween costumes are you wearing this year? Who goes the slutty route and goes gore, and who goes goofy?
Your mom, yes.
I'll be a sexy nurse.
I was going to be a sexy nurse.
You,
I can be the sexy doctor.
There you go. You can be the sexy doctor, I'll be the sexy nurse, and Jeremy can be the non-sexy patient.
I'll be the gory doctor.
That sounds terrifying.
Because that's the last thing you want to see me is, like, you know, as a doctor. I got, like, a hacksaw. Off, yeah.
I thought you and I were going to be those two guys from Dark Knight Returns. The Hi, I'm Bill, Hi, I'm Joe name tag guys.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, we should do that.
All right. Zappy. Grumble!
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. More action than drama or vice versa? You call it.
Good amount of both.
I didn't watch it. I thought it was dumb that Paulson was back alive.
Well,
there's clearly something about that, though.
I had heard that he had faked his death to, like,
that's what he thinks that's what happened, but they really implied that
he walks out of the room and the other two characters are like, he really doesn't know what happened, does he? And they go, nope, not telling him.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe I'll watch it. It's on Hulu Plus, right?
Yeah.
It's on regular Hulu, too.
It's on regular. I haven't seen it yet.
I really enjoyed it.
I give every new show 3 to 4 views, even if I don't like the pilot, and I thought this was decent.
Yeah, I thought it was decent pilot.
All
right, I'll give it a watch. Zappity.
Grumble. Favorite RPG system? Favorite RPG setting? Actually, I'll answer this quick. I like the original Star Wars system with the Force points.
Oh, I was thinking video game. RPG. You said RPG, and I didn't think that way. I thought Final Fantasy. That shows my mindset.
I like the original Force points things because you can almost tie it with the movies. You could tell when Luke uses a Force point. You know, it ties really well. And the setting, I like their Forgotten Realms.
I like, for setting, the Eclipse Phase role-playing game setting, and for rules-wise, I like the Dresden role-playing game rules.
Setting-wise, I love Deadlands. It's Civil War era, but vampires and werewolves and shit are running around. I also like the mechanic in it as well, but my favorite RPG mechanic was actually a little indie game called Inspectors that was more storytelling than anything else. And the big thing was every skill check, like the GM would start the game and he'd just start with a story outline.
Answer.
Blah, 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 blah. Start with the story outline. When you did a skill check, if you passed, you just stated what happened. No rules. And if you failed, the GM stated what happened. No rules.
Good
so
God.
Like shit got crazy.
I've never played a RPG.
That's not true. You're playing Kingdom Hearts right now.
Well, no, but I meant in, like, real life. But, like, on the video game, the one that I played first and the one I like the most is still Dragon Age.
Does that age us that when we think of RPG, that we think of a role-playing game
question could have went either way.
Yeah. My first question, when you first asked the question, my mind just went Chrono Trigger and Chrono Trigger. Yeah. Like, I was thinking that other route, too.
Yeah. My favorite world is the Fallout world. I fucking love it. It's amazing. Yeah. And the rule set, I don't know off the top of my head.
Hooray, Zappity.
Grumble. Which unit needs a unit attachment the most in order to see more table time?
Bay Knights.
Fuck you.
Go. I hope you don't. I hope the DVR fucked up and you don't get to watch your finale.
I'll watch it in an hour no matter what. I have alternate sources.
I'll answer on Brian's list, his faction's behalf, and say the actual one is going to be the freaking Drudge. They need to suck less.
There is model coming out, the new League model.
Yeah.
Well, they need to just have access to mercs.
Yeah. Fiona would love those guys.
I wouldn't mind the Wolfstalkers getting a UA.
Wouldn't mind, but do they need it? Who needs one?
I think they need it.
I think your Reeves need it.
The Reeves need it for them. The Desters, the horses and rat need a UA that makes them playable.
Yeah. Ranged heavy cav just doesn't work.
Nope.
Ranged light cav is fine. If they were light cav, ranged light cav works. Ranged heavy cav does not.
I'd like a unit attachment to the Bushwhackers.
Sure.
So Luke and Butch can have like another person there with them too.
Yeah, fair. Works for me. Zappity.
Grumble. Butcher 3, great butcher or greatest butcher?
Yes. Great.
Not greatest.
I think he's great. I haven't seen him enough times yet.
He's good. He's playable. He'll never beat out Butcher 1 for straight amazingness or Butcher 2 for amazing skew, in my opinion.
But he's fun.
He's fun. He's very fun.
That's the important thing. He's fun
super
and still good.
Super solos are fun.
Hooray. Zappity.
Grumble. Breaking Bad versus The Wire. Best show? Discuss.
Breaking Bad
is the best show ever.
The Wire, yeah, Wire had some good seasons, though. Wire's amazing. Breaking Bad's amazing plus.
Yeah.
Never seen The Wire yet.
Your life is less complete.
Never seen either.
It's not fair to any show to have it be the second best show behind Breaking Bad. That's not saying that show isn't amazing.
Quick offshoot here. Stu was just texting me about this. He was like, man, how do you guys even watch this? Because I've made it through like the first four episodes of the first season, and I'm exhausted already.
Yeah.
And I just told him, I said, wait till you get to like season 3, 4, 5.
It's draining.
Relax yourself, it's you draining. Masturbate while watching it. That's what we do here.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, like if we get tired, we just Dutch rudder instead. Just it keeps things going.
I don't know what that is.
Dutch I'll rudder? Show you sometime. Zappity.
Crumble.
It's funny because you have a penis.
No, she was going to Dutch rudder me.
Oh, I'm confused now.
I can Dutch rudder her. It'd be a little different.
What's the worst, best unit in the game?
Your mom. Wait, I said that already. I don't know. Bane Knights.
I think we just talked about that. It's basically whatever we talked about with
worst, the unit best attachment. Units. They mean like whose best unit is the least good of the best. So if we had to list like all the best units in each, the top in each faction, which Hank, one is the worst of
Mage
most?
Hunter, Strike Force.
I'm going with Hank.
Fuck worst you. Best unit.
Fuck you.
They are the best unit in Rhett, and they're the worst unit because of all the other problems that brings along. They're the worst best unit.
Now I'm too angry to answer.
Yeah, it's basically you ask Jeremy, you know, what's bad. He's like, my faction.
No, I love Rhett my faction. Whine. I love my faction. I've said before, I think they limit the design space.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Grumble.
Zappity.
All right. Things are recommendations.
Oh, was that it?
Yeah. Okay. That's all we're discussing right now. That's all it was on Facebook. I'm not going to go to Twitter right now.
Twitter's dangerous.
Twitter's
no,
gone.
Not happening.
It's 8:05. It's 5 minutes in. Somebody's already dead.
Yeah.
Recommendations is watch Breaking Bad. Done.
There you go.
Yeah, because you can catch up now.
See ya.
Mic drop.